Listening Dog Media.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome to Outside Centre, a rugby podcast for all knowledge bases, where coming up we're going to review round five of the Women's Six Nations and wrap up the tournament as a whole. And when I say we, I mean me, Robbie James. I also mean World Cup winner Vicky Fleetwood. And we start, Vicky, with a question for you. Would you like to travel the world?
Oh, absolutely. Why? Who's asking?
Well, me. I would also like to know, would you like today's podcast to have a taste of Asia?
Yes. Why, have they been listening this week?
No, but we're still big in Norway. Still in top five podcasts in Norway on a certain podcast provider. Question number three, would you like to go somewhere warmer?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's start our journey across the world in Singapore, where we find Ellie Boatman.
Hey guys, I hope you're having a good week. I won't be on the pod this week because I'm out in Singapore, but I'm looking forward to listening to the pod after all the spicy games at the weekend. I've had a really good training week so far and very much looking forward to playing in the iconic Singapore Stadium this weekend. See you guys soon.
So we've gone to Singapore. Would you now maybe like to travel west, I believe, to a place with mesmerizing beauty, mouth-watering delicacies, and a vibrant and rich culture, according to some travel websites? We head to Turkey to find Welsh rugby royalty and another previous teammate of Vicky Fleetwood's, obviously, it's Georgia Evans.
Hello.
Georgia, welcome to Outside Centre. Explain all, where are you and what are you doing?
As soon as it all finished on Saturday, did some celebrating. Monday morning, I was on a flight to Turkey. Get me away, need some sun, need some non-rugby around me for just a week. Reset, go again.
Non-rugby, but coming on a rugby podcast.
Yeah. I needed to get it in somewhere.
Thank you so much for giving us your time. Obviously, you're still outside sunning yourself, so we're not taking too much of that away from you.
I can do two things at once. It's all good. It's multitasking.
It's quite nice, actually, because am I right in saying that the word on the grapevine is that you are a proper rugby badger, right? So you are one of the few people in their week off when they're sunning themselves in Turkey that would come on a rugby podcast and talk rugby.
I do love it. And I, even though we get away from it, like when we go on holiday and stuff, I still find myself scrolling all the rugby stuff, seeing all the news, and like, I can't get away from it too much. But
And also, tell us who you're with.
And I come away with Hannah and Holly, so they always get recognised everywhere we go, so we can't really hide from it too much.
So Hannah Bottom and Holly Aitchison.
Did they bring their medals, or?
I told them to leave them at home. I don't need to see them. They've got too many now. It's getting beyond the joke.
Okay, so we'll come on to England, and we'll come on to the other games. Let's start, because we don't want to keep you too long from your holiday. So let's start with the first game of the weekend, and I'll begin our review of round five and the Six Nations as a whole. And we will start at the Principality, where Wales avoided a first ever whitewash in the Six Nations thanks to what was a pulsating 22-20 victory against Italy. in the Principality Stadium in Cardiff. It was a mad game. Me and Vicky were talking before you came on the podcast, Georgia, that it was one of those games that we watched back, and you still, even when you're not watching it live, you're a bit like, oh, this is, I'm tense. I know the result, but I still feel scared in the last 10 minutes. Where are you on the sort of come down scale now from that?
It's tough because obviously where we stand, where we finished in the Six Nations kind of sucks. But that game as a whole was so incredible to be a part of. Not only running out on the Principality, it was a record crowd. Like, the whole day as a whole was unbelievable. The come down was hard on Sunday. I can tell you that. it hit me six. But it was so good to be a part of. The girls are absolutely immense, and I have said it so many times, like over the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, that we've got a proper group of fighters. And I think that game just like summed it up. Like, we didn't stop until the very end, and thankfully we got the result.
We spoke kind of in previous weeks about how kind of it looked like the Welsh team kind of had, you know, you were quite low on confidence, kind of things weren't going your way. The physicality of old kind of wasn't there. And I felt that whether it was kind of the occasion being at the Principality or I don't know, but you guys looked so up for it. Physicality was phenomenal. And yeah, like you say, you stuck in it, like you fought for that win. And gutted that you got that disallowed try. What was that about? You 100% scored that.
It was so sad that that is like the best non-try that I've ever scored.
But it was a try. It was a try.
It was. You can kind of see as I go over, I lie there for a second. It's not because I'm tired. I was like, I just lay on the floor and I was like, I know they're not going to give this because of how it had come about. But Al Cow has been absolutely brilliant. And you can hear on the ref's mic speaking and was like, please check it. And I think the ref said like she'd blown up before it happened or something like that. So I was just gutted. But at that moment, I was like, there wasn't enough time for me to be like, that could have been the win for us. It was kind of like, right, we've got scrum now, so that's the most important part. And it all kind of went by so quickly, and it was only at the end when I rewatched it, I was like, damn it, I could have scored at the stadium. Like, what? They robbed me. But it is what it is.
Was that moment as well when you went over and then I think you all got in a huddle, and I think TV picked up on this as well, did you initiate a team deep breath?
Yeah, so so we've been working on it a lot. We work with a psychologist, brought in us just taking a moment in and like breathing in our spare time, and it's actually been a massive game changer for us. So simple, but breathing. So I was actually in charge of the breath, which is quite funny because as Peter knows, I'm like a crazy hot-headed human that's running around like headless chicken. But it centers me as well, so pulled everybody in, make sure that everybody takes deep breath, center ourselves back into the moment, and then we go again.
Could you just sort of reenact it for me and Vicky? So if we were in that huddle right now, what kind of thing, what would we need to do to take a good deep breath?
So I get everybody in and we go two deep breaths. So the first one is just the deep breath. You go, as always.
Okay, ready, Vicky?
And then, lovely. And then the second one, you take a big deep breath, hold at the top, and then you inhale again.
Huh?
And then let it out.
But also France have been doing that as well. If I don't know if you've noticed that, Robbie.
No, I haven't. I nearly choked on that one. Sorry.
he held his breath too long.
It takes some practice. People think breathing's easy.
Yeah, tough stuff. That explains why I'm not a professional rugby player. Sorry, Vicky, you were saying about the French team do it as well.
Yeah, they've been doing it as well. I think, as Georgia said, it's especially when you're in very tense moments, just to try and bring yourself back to like that current situation that you're in, because your head can run away with you if you are kind of out of breath, or it's been like loads of phases back to back. It just kind of centers you, brings you back to what you're focusing on rather than all these different thoughts all at once and trying to bring everyone kind of to the same page. So I can see how that is something. And I think, Georgie, I think you actually used to try and get us to do that at Saris quite a bit, just like have a little moment. So yeah, I think it can be really helpful.
It makes a massive difference when you're like in those tough games, like I said, like phase after phase, it's to bring everybody together. And like, you know, more than anywhere, like people love to talk in those times, and it's actually being like, right, now's not the time to talk, like get your breath, calm yourself, think about what you need to say, and then we can like kind of just, it's like a nice way, it's very simple, but it works for us.
Yeah, and you said that obviously that's something you've been kind of working on in camp. What were kind of your biggest focuses kind of going through the campaign, obviously, you know, with those few losses, and then to come back and kind of have that confidence to go out there at the Principality and get that win? What changed in that week leading up to that game? Was there anything different, or did you just know that it was coming? It just kind of, everything had to click on the day.
It was a really tricky campaign, and I spoke to Johan about it as well, and it was like, no one's more frustrated than us as players, because we don't know what's going wrong. Because if you look at our squad now, it's the strongest squad we've had in years, and we've got, the strength and depth is crazy. The girls, the new caps coming through have been absolutely immense for us. We've got a world-class 10. Like, every little thing is like, should be leading us to all success, and it just wasn't going right. And like, I think the Ireland game was pretty sobering for us. So I think after the Ireland game, went to, obviously we had France, it was all focus just turned on us, and it was about us going back to basics, enjoying our rugby. And I think in glimpses against France we showed that, and it was like, the bar will break at some point, we just needed it to be on like Saturday, and it did. So we were like very grateful, but it was very much like focusing on ourselves, focusing on what we can control, because like I said, like, no one really knows where it's gone wrong. It's been tough, but it was about taking the emotion out of it, and like, instead of being like, right, we're going to get the wooden spoon, and like focusing on all the bad things, and like, you know, what the press are like, or everyone being wanting to sack us and start from scratch, like, that's fine. But it was about just making sure that we listened to ourselves internally. Nothing else really mattered, and focus was all on us.
So when you went in at half time, you were 5 points behind. What was kind of said? How did you guys kind of feel going into the changing rooms? Did you feel like for me watching it, I thought you guys looked in control. So yeah, you were behind, but it just kind of looked like everything you were doing, the territory game, like everything just seemed in your control. You just hadn't been able to convert them into points. So what was said, what was discussed, what was the feeling in the changing room at halftime?
Sorry, I was just trying to think back to the halftime. I can't even remember at this point. But I know that was exactly it. We knew going into Italy, and it's always the same, it's going to be an arm wrestle. And our main focus was to take the legs away. We know that we're quite a fit team, and it was just to keep in the fight, because I think we showed, like, previous games we let it run away, like we weren't scoring, and then the score line built up from other teams, and then we were like 40 points behind. It was like, oh, like, you're never going to climb back from it. It was about being in every single fight, so it was like winning the line out, winning the territory. And I just think, like, it was about keeping to doing what was working instead of trying to change it. So we knew that come 60 minutes we were going to be like pushing them, and I think like the last 10 minutes showed that we took their legs away, we fought for everything, and we stayed, you know, in their 22 and made sure that we got the returns from it.
Oh, it's so nice to hear that you're able to enjoy it as well, and to be able to turn it around and to be like, actually, we've come away like in a really positive light on the back of what might not have been that had it, like, the scoreline gone the other way.
Oh, 100%. And I think that's the thing, like, people are like, you still come last. And it's like, yeah, that sucks. We can't take away. Like, we've got to look at ourselves as individuals, players, when we go back to club. We've got to look at ourselves as a collective, combinations. Like, that's all that stuff is being done and will be done. And the work doesn't stop. Like, you know, it just keeps going. If you allow it to constantly fester in your mind and you listen to all the outside noise and you're like, oh my God, we lost. Like, you can get into a pretty bad space. So I think it's quite important that we take the small wins, and it was a pretty big one on the weekend, so I'll take the big win.
you mentioned fitness and trying to like take the legs out of Italy and stuff. Is there any other tactics to that? Because I don't know if you knew this beforehand, but Beatrice Rigoni is known for keeping sweets in her socks, which I imagine very much helps in terms of fitness and stuff. Was there anything in those last 10 minutes other than the deep breaths that you kind of, you went to each other and you went, oh, you haven't got a marum, have you? Or something like that. That's not a thing in the team, is it?
A marum. I love that.
A bit of quick release energy or something. Well, I don't know. If Beatrice Rigoni keeps them in, I don't know. Is there someone in the Welsh team who might do that?
there's probably many of us would do it. I just think, like, the idea of taking socks from my sweets from my sweaty sock, or keeping it anywhere else and putting it in my mouth, probably doesn't really sit too good for me. So I'll give them to the physios and make sure they carry on a bag of Haribos or something.
It does make sense. Another thing it picked up on as well is that the uninitiated rugby fans coming into this podcast, the back row is those that wear 6, 7 and 8, right? And it was you, Alex Callender and Alicia Butchers on Saturday. It does feel like you three are kind of like the terrifying trio. It feels like you three are like the three real leaders on that pitch, and you're a bit of a gang in a nice way. I don't mean in a bad way, but you're like the sort of gang that stick together. Is that kind of how it is when you're on the pitch?
I love them. I think both of them are world class in what they do, and I say it all the time to them, like, there is so much pleasure I take from sharing the field with them. They're amazing. People call I am the team dog, which people are like, you're just the dog of the team, you just do all the work people don't want to do, and like, you just run around and like pick everybody up. And I'm like, so now I've kind of got the name as the team dog.
Dog.
Which is
dogs are too friendly.
Nicest possible way. So I was like, fine. But working with them too, they've got so much fight, they've got so much class, and I know that if, like I've said it before to them, if I'm down like on energy or something, I just have to look either to my left or right, and they're just there to pick me back up. So they are really, really great people, great humans, and yeah, bring the energy wherever they go.
I really like the balance of that back row of you three. Like, how are you finding playing at eight? Because obviously for you, you play in every position in that kind of second row, back row. So yeah. Nice to see you at eight, getting your hands on the ball and, yeah, being given kind of the opportunity to do that as well.
Yeah, it's something I've been really grateful for this campaign, because obviously, you know, I'm in and out of the second row, and everyone knows, probably not my favourite, but as long as I'm on the pitch, it's fine. But to be given the chance to run at eight is something that was really exciting, because one, like, that balance of me, Alan and Butchie all in the back row, like, I love playing with them, and I personally love the balance also. Like, they're great to work with. They're very attacking back rowers, which allows me a little bit more freedom to just do all like the cheating and the nitty-gritty stuff in defense and all that rubbish. But no, it's great, and I'm really grateful to have been given the opportunity twice. We've got Gwenan Hopkins, who was sitting on the bench on the weekend, and she's in a class of her own also, so I know that still got a fight there on my hands to make sure that I retain the shirt. But they allowed me the reins, and I hope I did a well enough job, because it was so much fun.
And it was lovely at the end as well to see the emotion from, which you don't normally see, emotion from coaches, and Ian Cunningham in tears, and then he came over and chatted to BBC on the telly, didn't he? And then everyone who orchestrated going over and absolutely gatecrashing that interview, because that was chaos.
It was so good. Well, Al and Kira were like, right, let's go and get Johan, because we were all in the huddle, and they were like, oh, let's go and get Johan. And then they started walking, and I was like, what are you walking for? Just go grab him. So then we all just ran. And so it wasn't me. It was Alcal. It was all Alcal. It's been a really tough campaign, and it's been a real tough campaign internally. There's been lots of goings on. There's been lots of questions and lots of conversations had. For him, you know, we back him 100%. We back the backroom staff. We back the 15 that take the pitch, the girls that don't. Everybody in that squad is behind our successes. So for him, I'm like really pleased that we could get it over, because he's the same coach that coached us when we were having our success last year. He doesn't just turn into a bad coach, and we don't just turn into bad players. It's just rugby. So for him, I'm really, really pleased that we were able to do that. And then, yeah, it was nearly made me cry as well. When I seen them tear up, I thought, oh God, please don't do it. But yeah, it was really good.
He comes across, he's such a sweet man, isn't he? I want to just give him a hug when I saw him on telly having tears in the director's box. Just on like a more general point, the fact that you mentioned like the scrutiny that like you've been under in the last few weeks, and Johan's been under and things like that. Is that something that you or the group have ever experienced before? And in a weird way, not that it's good, but is it kind of interesting, like the fact that the limelight is so on you and that so many people are talking about the Welsh women's side and watching and so many people at the Principality, that must be kind of, you know, something that shows you, yeah, you know what, there's progress. Right, there's expectation now. There's people watching. We're playing for a Wales team. This is big. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think, I mean, we got some, when we went to World Cup, that was like, and when we did WXV, it kind of started last year, which was tough. But I think it's a surprise for some of the girls coming through that have never experienced it. I think, I don't know if you find it Fleeto, but like being at Sarri's, it kind of hardened you because you have every Tom, Dick and Harry giving their opinion on everything. So you kind of get used to it. But I do think it's a positive thing that people are watching and people want us to do well. Like, you know, they're not, I hope some people aren't coming at it as from a nasty point of view and they're just trying to give their opinion and, you know, try and make us the best team in the world. But it's good that they care. It's good that they're watching. And it just shows the growth in the game. I think the probably negative side of it is something that a lot of us as a group actually haven't ever like had so heavily. Because I think at one point, like after the Ireland game, it was like, there was people calling to just get rid of the whole team and to take an under 20s. And I was like, just try it for fun. Why not try it? But it's something that is just part and parcel of the sport. But I think it's really important that like we kind of just are able to block out that negative side of it. Because like I said, just get into a spiral. If you read everything, like, God, none of us should be playing rugby if you actually believed half of it.
It's one of those where like, you kind of want to read it because you're like interested in what people want to say, and they're like slating you, or like you're just kind of like, I kind of want to see what they say.
Yeah. But
also, like, you do have to just read it and then let go of it and not hold on to that. And like you say, I think definitely being somewhere like Sarri's, when everyone wants a dominant team to do badly, or when they do badly, they like to talk it up. So we used to get a lot of that at Sarri's. If we did have a bad game and lost for any reason, everyone would just be getting at you like, woohoo, unlucky, like Sarri's lost again. Like it found this person playing really badly or whatever it was. So
yeah, 100%. I think it's important, like people, everyone's like, oh, athletes are people too. And it is so true. Like it's a skill as well to be able to move on from, like to read the negative things and move on from it. So like, if you're unable to do it, probably you shouldn't read them. If you are nosy, I'm nosy. I like to see what people are saying and so go for it. But like, it's trying to use that negativity, like almost just fuel to the fire and be like, all right, watch me then.
Just want to know, how long are you away for? How much rest do you get before going back into kind of club stuff? And how's the body feeling after kind of a tough 6 weeks or even longer when you kind of add all the kind of training camps and stuff leading into it?
Yeah, everything on top. We played South Africa the week before the Six Nations kicked off. So it was like, it was just a complete exorcism of like, our bodies were gone within the first week. I was like, great. No, body's actually surprisingly feels okay. Feel good. I almost feel rested. And already? I've only been here 2 days.
We're recording this on Wednesday morning.
She's ready to go again.
I just don't like to be away for too long. So I'll be back, flying back next Monday, straight back into Sarri's then. So I know that we've got a couple of big games coming up with Exeter and Gloucester and all the top of the table clashes. So that'll be lots of fun. But now I feel good. I feel like having a couple of days away now will allow me to then hit the ground running when I go back.
What kind of holidayer are you? Can you just sit in the sun, or are you someone that, are you like me and you like need to like throw a ball around or something?
So I like flip between the two. So the girls went golfing yesterday, so they bought their golf clubs and they're going golfing 3 days out of the week, and I just sat for 8 hours on a sunbed and didn't, well, I did move, I went to the bar, but I did lie on the sunbed and stayed there the whole time. But now Hannah's back, I've got someone to play with, so they've not gone golfing today, so I can throw a ball around in the pool and run around and cause havoc.
And for that, just do your bit for the tourist board, if you wouldn't mind. Can you confirm that Turkey does have mesmerising beauty, mouth-watering delicacies, and a vibrant and rich culture?
It's stunning.
For the benefit of the podcast, Georgia Evans is showing us a wall and a hotel. Good stuff. Well, it's been an absolute treat to get to chat to you, Georgia, especially so soon after after the Six Nations and on your holiday. So we'll let you get back to enjoying the sun, and it's been lovely to have you on, and we're so pleased that you got that win on Saturday, and things are looking up.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Enjoy the rest. Thanks, Georgia.
How good to have Georgia Evans on the podcast. She's great, isn't she? She is one of those people that is just kind of infectiously joyful.
Yeah, she's so much fun. And I was so lucky to be able to play alongside someone like her, because she would just always bring the energy. She was someone who, even if you're not laughing with her, you're laughing at her. She, you know, class clown kind of vibes. Really fun, and kind of hopefully that comes across in like the conversations that we have as well. So yeah, lovely human.
Yeah, love Georgia very much. Right, so that is Wales and Italy done. So Wales finishing bottom in the end, Italy finishing fifth. Our second game of Super Saturday was Ireland against Scotland, and Ireland bagged themselves third place in the Six Nations thanks to a 15-12 victory over Scotland in Belfast. It means that Scotland finished fourth, just 1 point behind Ireland and two ahead of Italy, and it means for Ireland that they qualify not only for WXV1, so the highest division of WXV in the autumn, but also they qualify automatically now for the Rugby World Cup in England in 2025, which really, Vicky Fleetwood, is the main headline, because it was a bit of a scrap. The game wasn't particularly enjoyable to watch, but ultimately that is a huge reward for Ireland.
Absolutely, especially on the back of the week before, like losing so heavily, to kind of turn that around and be like, look, both teams will have gone in with that same mindset, being like, this is basically our World Cup final at that current time. You know, if we don't like qualify here, we'll have to go through repechage, which is never fun. You're always left waiting till that last moment to try and get a spot for the World Cup. So for them to go in and know that they've qualified now gives them the opportunity to kind of look back at all of those games, really work hard on improving, you know, everything that they feel went wrong, things that they can put right for their next games. They can go into that knowing that they have that World Cup spot. And I think that just makes things, it just feels kind of like a weight's been lifted from your shoulders, knowing that a team will go. So, yeah. Like, awesome for them, especially on the back of, you know, such a heavy loss the week before.
Yeah, and they finished last in 2023, picked up the wooden spoon, and now they've halved it. They've gone from finishing sixth to third. So next year, they'll be finishing first on current form.
Doubt it, but maybe.
All right, we'll keep expectations light for now. As for Scotland, it feels, and I knew this, and I blame you and I blame Ellie Boatman for this, because last week you were all bigging up Scotland. You were saying, yep, Scotland are going to walk away with this. They'll be absolutely fine. And I knew that that is too much confidence to put in any Scotland side. And they went and lost. And ultimately we look at the tournament, and again, for a Scotland rugby side, we go, they promised so much, but delivered. Ultimately fourth place.
Yeah, there were so many errors from both sides. And any time they did get the ball back, both teams wanted to go with that territory game, so kick the ball away, and then there was a line out and there was so many scrums, and it just was such a scrappy game because of so many errors, because both teams wanted, you know, they were both going for that qualification, they both wanted to win that game so desperately. And Ireland's defense in that last kind of 4 or 5 minutes to hold Scotland out, I thought Scotland were going to actually get a try at that point, but Ireland's defence was amazing. They started just marching Scotland back with every phase. So yeah, thoroughly deserved, especially in the composure that they had kind of in those dying minutes to really make sure that they secured that win.
Yeah, proper weird game. And I'm a frustrated Scotland fan yet again. So that is where Scotland and Ireland finish. Ireland in third, Scotland in fourth. And that brings us on nicely to the top two sides in the tournament. And it was over in Bordeaux where England won their sixth sixth consecutive Six Nations title, their third consecutive Grand Slam, with a 42-21 victory over France in Bordeaux. The atmosphere was incredible, and it was a weird afternoon because it was like wet in Bordeaux, which we never see. But nonetheless, England, we'll come on to them in just a second. But can we start with France? Because I was watching this game. I watched it again yesterday. And you know what watching France is like? It's like when you go to do the big shop, you go to Tesco, and you got to drive all the way to Tesco, and you go and pick up everything on your list, and you come all the way back, and it's been chaos, and it's been a drag, and you're exhausted, and you get into the kitchen, and you're putting everything back in the cupboards and the fridge, and then you realise that you forgot to get the pesto, and you've got to go back out again. It's just like, oh, you watch them and they're just so close, but then they blow it and make a silly mistake and they're back to square one.
It's what we spoke about in the flair that they do have in that offloading game. I think that is what let them down in this game. So they just forced one too many passes that ended up being turnovers or not going to hand, whatever it was. Just they would force that last offload and it just wasn't on. And then England would come back and end up, you know, building those phases, mm-hmm. getting that control back, and from there would then go and score. So it's so exciting to watch, but they can just overdo it at times. And I don't think that the red card helped in any way. England actually kept everyone on the field.
They did.
So win there for England. But yeah, had France for the full 80 had 15 on the field, that could have potentially been, you know, a lot tougher game. Yeah, not long into that second half having that red card. But also, so when that player went off,
Asiya Kalafaui, yeah,
the first scrum after that, they obviously have to bring on a prop because she, you know, she's a front row. They need someone to come on and scrum. They took their captain off. I found that so weird. So their captain's a line-out option. Their captain, someone who's going to be making big decisions on the field.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a very strange decision. Like, you could take anyone else off and you decide to take your captain off. That's really weird.
Yeah, odd. I mean, I can't give you an answer. Maybe they just, I don't know, maybe she was knackered.
Yeah, but it wasn't that far into the second half. So she just had... she's had 10 minutes rest over half time.
Yeah, odd. It will go on.
Also, did you hear, was it Sarah Orchard that was commentating?
Yes.
Did you hear her say go to the well?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, when did she say that?
I thought you'd have picked up on that. She's explaining something and she says they've had to go to the well. Like,
okay,
yeah.
This is a note. Let's put this, that I'll find that and put that into the podcast here.
Romain Menorget. Real ever present in the squad for some time now. Someone they've asked to go to the world many, many times.
Good. Yeah, good stuff from Sarah Orchard. Excellent.
I thought you would be on that. You'd be like, someone else said it.
No, I missed it, unfortunately. But there we go. Maybe it's a BBC thing then. I don't know. But yeah, one thing I would say just before we move on to England is that if you didn't watch that game on Saturday, I would say, and you're new to rugby and you're trying to get into rugby, watch the highlights and watch those first couple of tries from France, from Gabrielle Vernier and Marine Menager. They were incredible. And that is the kind of rugby that makes me just go, this is one of the great sports. It's one of the most fun sports when it's played well. So cool.
But also for Menager to back herself in such a small space, she was like, I'm getting around you, Jess. Jess misses the tackle.
She did the Ellie Bowman eyeballs.
Was she like, that was your tackle?
She eyed her up, just said, not happening.
Oh,
yeah.
So they do stuff so well and then let themselves down on that, just playing that extra offload. I feel that's their issue.
But it also means that they're just really fun to watch and you never quite know what you're going to expect. Let's move on to England then, finally, because they take the spoils, they take a third consecutive Grand Slam and ultimately continue to cement themselves as the absolute driving force in Northern Hemisphere rugby. It was never really in doubt, was it, Vicky? But I suppose instead of having the boring question as to whether or not we thought they were ever going to not win, did they get from that game I dropped my pen. Did they get from that game what they wanted to get from that game?
Absolutely. Like the fact that France scored tries against them, they were challenged. We've spoken about how England's defence haven't really been challenged at all in this tournament, and actually they had to work hard at times in that game. Yes, they ended up running away with it, but we've spoken about how, you know, half of that was potentially down to that red card, because France were in it kind of until that point. And yeah, they got to go up against a stronger opposition and just see if everything still worked. And actually, the line out, England's formidable line out, like, it's just so good. Amy Kilcane's throwing was on point. So yeah, they'll take loads from that. Because it's always been known that France are very good defensively at line out. So to come away with winning so many of those and being able to put the backs on the front foot is huge. So yeah, I think they'll take loads from that. But also to put, like, run your moves against a better opposition, a team who will stick together better in defence, and you can see if it works. So England going up against, you know, against certain oppositions, like, this is going to work. So there'll be plenty that they take from that, and also loads of confidence.
And just finally as well, in terms of, like, off the field for England this tournament, it feels like this was the tournament where the personalities were born, and we actually had those kind of heroes that boys and girls growing up can look at. And I'm talking about people like Ellie Kildon and people like Meg Jones. It felt like maybe, like, you know, the World Cup a couple of years ago and previous Six Nations have been about players on the pitch, and it's all been a little bit noisy and stuff. But now you go to a stadium, or you go and watch PWR or whatever in the next couple of months, and you see Ellie Kildon and you're like, oh my God, it's Ellie Kildon, off the telly, off TikTok, off Instagram. Suddenly they're really born, these personalities. And I think that's lovely. And I think that's, like, maybe a really big thing that's come out of this tournament, would you say?
Yeah, and I think that's down to kind of everything that's been pushed on social media. Like, yeah, actually, that's also the way that most people will follow, like, the games as well. Like, not everyone is going to be sat at home watching the game on TV, but if they can see the highlights and they can go onto their social media, go and look at what the individuals are up to as well. And, like, making it fun. So, like, appearances, yeah, as players, you want to go out there and do something that is fun, that people are going to enjoy watching. And it's all about kind of bringing that fan into the whole experience and not just seeing what the players are doing on the pitch. The coaches are more, like, accepting of the players doing a little bit more and showing their personality, because they've always been there. Those personalities have always been there. They've just not been shown in the way that I think kind of they have been shown, like, of late. And that's just what people want to see, isn't it? People, like, goofing about, showing that they're enjoying what they're doing. And, like, when you're enjoying what you're doing, you're going to get the results. So it's kind of bringing it all together.
Yeah, everyone's really bought into it. Really, really cool. And that Red Rose's Instagram account and stuff, if you've not followed that, you need to make sure you follow it. Really, really cool. Cool, brilliant. That is where the Six Nations finishes for 2024. So England finished first, France second, Ireland third, Scotland fourth, Italy fifth, and with the wooden spoon, it is Wales. Vicky Fleetwood, to end, how would you rate the Six Nations? Good, bad, moderate, decent? Amazing.
At times, fantastic. Ooh. At times, a little bit mental. just like skill errors, all that kind of stuff. Just some crazy games that were difficult to watch because there were so many errors with teams just going at it. But overall, teams are massively improving, and it's just awesome to see that England are still managing to push on and keep that gap rather than the other teams closing it, which obviously with all the other teams now having professional contracts and stuff. Yeah, I think it's great to see how all teams have improved so much, and amazing for Ireland to go from, you know, doing so badly last year to actually some real improvements this year. I'm sure all teams will be taking loads going into WXV. and when they're all back together. But yeah, lots of players will be off back to clubs after a little bit of rest. So gives them opportunity to focus on themselves and go and improve like on their individual things. And then when they come back to playing with their country, they've got other things to focus on and loads to take from it. Lots of exciting bits. And I'll definitely be watching some of the games again because they were really, really good.
Yeah, and there'll be some that you won't be watching as well.
Yeah, a few that I will not be watching.
Yes. Good stuff. A lovely place to leave it. The Six Nations is going to take a deep breath, as per Georgia Evans' instruction. We are going to do the same, and we will regroup soon. But there's rugby this weekend. Don't forget, there is men's European rugby. Plus, you can watch Ellie Boatman in Singapore playing for Great Britain. So that's going to be a nice thing. I think the time difference is maybe they're going to be playing again, like mornings and stuff. So you can get that on TNT, or you can watch back any of the games on BBC iPlayer. So we'll leave it there. Any correspondence, any messages at Outside Centre Pod on Insta or TikTok. We will, when Ellie's back from Singapore and stuff, we'll regroup and chat maybe ahead of the Premiership Women's Rugby semi-finals and stuff. Should we do that?
Sounds good.
Good stuff. I'm not going to say tear it up. I'm just going to leave it with a simple bye. Does that work for you?
Absolutely. Okay. Have a good day. See you later.
Podcast Network.